You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the author of the new book, Grief is Love, says we don't need to get over grief, but we can learn to live with it as part of our lives. Now, Tom Lojack joins us. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That's right, Rob. You know, listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy here at WPR possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Last hour, we heard from 8 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those gifts. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000. This generous match is from current members, including a member in Webster. It means they're going to match every dollar that you give.
You know, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs that you love and give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to give. Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality. That's why we've been around for more than 100 years. Since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, it's all possible. Thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program, Central Time, possible, and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality that you hear every day here on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Show some Wisconsin Public Radio pride this spring and keep your feet warm and looking extra stylish with a pair of WPR socks. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People often talk about the high quality of life here in Wisconsin. We have great state parks, a respected university system, and wonderful libraries. You know, Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of the high quality of life here in the Badger State.
On WPR, you enjoy lively conversations, in-depth news, great music and entertainment. Invest in the variety you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your donation. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is, of course, personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everybody in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something great for the whole community. WPR is listener-supported. That's why your participation is so important. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. There's still room for your gift to be matched. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Get your gift matched and added bonus. You could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. No contribution necessary. You could go to WPR.org/drawing for details. But you could just automatically get entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, if you're making those ongoing monthly gifts, you're already entered.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up a monthly donation from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. It's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Kay in Shawano says, I love WPR and listen every day. Who else can I trust to report well-researched facts? And Roberta in Greenleaf says, I love WPR and donate whenever I can. Tom, how could people join Kay and Roberta to give and get that dollar-for-dollar match taken advantage of?
So easy. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We really appreciate your help.
We don't ask you to pay for all of WPR. We don't ask for 100 of you to pay for all of WPR by yourself. The great thing is we've got lots of people who support. And every time somebody joins the team, it gets that much better and that much more reliable for the future of your favorite radio service here in Wisconsin. If you counted us for great conversations, thank you. We're glad you're there listening. Know that we count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. That dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We all deal with grief and loss at some point in our lives. But even though it's this universal experience, it can be overwhelming and hard to know even how to grieve. People could even feel like we're doing it wrong if we don't follow the right steps, if it lasts too long or it doesn't last long enough. Our next guest says there's no one right way to deal with grief that's going to work for everybody. Everybody's experience might be different, but there are some things that can help. She dealt with her own significant loss when her mom passed away from breast cancer. She writes about her own story of grief while her mom was sick and after she passed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're willing to share with us an experience with grief in your own life, how it affected you, if you felt like there was pressure to get over it, pressure coming from you or from society at large, and you could also join in with your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Marissa Renee Lee is the author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. She's the former deputy director of private sector engagement in the Obama White House. And according to her online biography, she's an avid Green Bay Packers fan. Marissa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
One thing that struck me about your experience with grief is, I think in the abstract, we think of grief as feeling sad, but
yes,
it came into your life and so many people's lives in physical ways and mental and emotional ways. Can you talk about just the vastness of the experience?
Yeah. So in my book, I talk a lot about the fact that, you know, while everyone's experience with grief is unique and different, there is so much about grief that is universal in the way that it attacks both your mind and your body. I was able to partner on this book with a bereavement researcher and professor from Harvard University, Dr. Christy Dankla, and she just completely opened up my eyes so that I could see that, you know, my experience, as hard as it was, you know, losing a parent and then a decade later losing a much wanted pregnancy, that so many of the things that I went through, you know, when I was feeling sad or depressed or anxious or having headaches or stomach aches or insomnia, that it was all perfectly normal. And I hope that this book allows other people who are dealing with grief to feel like what they're dealing with is actually normal and okay. You know, there is nothing wrong with you if you lost someone you love and you're still having a hard time and it's been weeks, months, or even years later.
If you made me say words to respond to grief, I might say things like loss, absence. You really center love. Why is it important for you to do that and maybe for the rest of us to do that?
So the thing that I realized when I lost my pregnancy and, you know, my mom had been gone for over a decade and all I wanted was her. You know, I wanted her comfort. I wanted her to console me. I wanted her to somehow make it all better. And in that moment, I realized you don't get over it. You know, we have this notion that grief is something that arrives right around the time you lose someone, but that's actually not true. Grief is the repeated experience of learning to live in the midst of a significant loss. So it is something that comes up over and over again. And the reason why it comes up over and over again is because when you lose someone you love, you don't stop loving them. You keep loving them, which means, unfortunately, you're going to keep noticing their absence as different things come up in your life. You know, whether it's a big move and your spouse of 10 years is no longer with you, or the promotion at work, or, you know, I think about bringing my father and the rest of my family to the West Wing to meet President Obama and, you know, feeling sad that my mom wasn't there for that. And so for me, recognizing that love is at the core of the pain that we all experience when we grieve, it made it much easier to deal with. You know, it gave me something that I could really understand. And what I do now is commit to finding ways, big and small, to continuing my relationship with my mother. You know, she's been gone over 14 years, and I try to make sure in, you know, the ways that we raise our son, in, you know, the memories that I make with my husband, that my mom is included in them in some way.
Now, you offer a kind of a toolkit in some ways. There's not like a magical path to getting through grief that's out there, but you give some great bits of advice here. And one of them, the first one in the book, is the idea of permission, having permission to feel and express our grief. Can you talk about how important that is?
Yes. So I realized as I was putting this book together, you know, what I wanted to share was sort of my toolkit for how I have come to live a full, joyful, mostly happy, vibrant life while still creating space for the grief and you know, the sadness that comes sometimes by not having my mom by my side. And I realized one of the main ingredients, you know, one of the biggest things that has made really living with loss possible for me is that at some point I decided I was no longer going to worry about what others thought about how I was grieving. I was no longer going to judge myself for how I was grieving. I was just going to give myself permission to move through my grief however I need to, whenever, wherever I need to, in whatever way best works for me and in whatever way facilitates my healing. And once I gave myself permission to really own that grief, you know, to own the loss of my mother, it made it lighter. You know, it isn't easy. And now that I'm on tour for this book, there have definitely been interviews and conversations that I've been in that have been incredibly emotional. You know, I cry sometimes, and now I'm okay with it because it's normal. And so I truly hope that for folks who are listening and for folks who pick up this book, that it allows them to redefine grief in a way that works for them.
Marissa Renee Lee is with us, author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Marissa's here to talk with us about living through and with grief, and what you can do to make sure you're still living a joyful and full life. You can join in with your questions, maybe your own experiences, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Marissa Renee Lee, author of the book Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us. Dennis, hi.
Hi. My parents were in hospice care, and I was experiencing anticipatory grief. Then, of course, they died. Then the year after that, around the anniversary of their deaths, then I was going through anticipatory grief as if they were still alive, plus grieving they were dead. And it's like, wait, it's like two different realities at once just hitting at the same time. It's what's going on here?
Dennis, thanks for the call. Marissa, I think you can relate to both ends of Dennis's experience there.
Yeah, Dennis, first of all, I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'm sorry. Second, what I will say is the thing about grief is, you know, we have this idea around the stages of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross put out. And I want people to know that when she wrote that book on death and dying, where those stages were first discovered, that book was actually written for the dying themselves, not for you, Dennis, or for me, Marissa, you know, the folks who are left behind. And I think because there is this framework out in the world that grief is a linear experience, when we have these moments of, you know, both grieving the actual loss and anticipatory grief with it after someone has passed away, we think that there's something wrong. And Dennis, I just have to tell you, there is nothing wrong or particularly out of the ordinary about your experience. On my end, you know, my mom passed away in 2008, and I went through a phase of sort of similarly anticipatory grief actually leading up to my wedding in 2015, because all of a sudden I was hit with all of this emotion around the fact that she wasn't going to be there. And there was just a lot of layers to it. And I've come to learn through the research that I did for this book that unfortunately that is a normal experience. And the best thing you can do and the most important thing you can do is exactly what you are doing, Dennis, which is acknowledging it and giving yourself space to have those feelings without judgment. And so I hope that you're able to continue to do that and to just be patient with yourself, because, you know, I'm over 14 years out from my mother's death. I don't think grief ever goes away.
Dennis, thanks so much for being willing to share that with us. I appreciate it. We'll go now to Samantha on the line in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Good program. My grandma, Robert, passed away in 2014, but my niece, who's four, never got to meet her. My other niece either, but they never got to meet her. So what my brother has done is he's keeping her memory alive, my grandma Evelyn, by pictures and photos and talking about her and saying, this is your great grandma. And when they had when they had the baby shower for her, my baby brother was living in her house, the farmhouse, and found some quilts that my grandma made, brand new, baby quilt and a full-size quilt, never used. My grandma made quilts all the time and gave it to my sister-in-law, my brother, for their bed, and then the baby quilt. So she would always remember him by, you know, then. But now as she's growing up, they remember her. They keep her memory alive. Anytime she sees a picture of my grandma, she's like, Great grandma.
Yes. That's fantastic, yes. Samantha. Thank you. Marissa, in just our last minute or so, that's a great way to, keep that memory.
Yes. You gave me goosebumps. I so appreciate you sharing that story. You know, the whole foundation of Grief is Love is based on this theory called the continuing bonds theory that says the healthiest way to grieve the loss of a loved one is to find a way to continue that bond, to continue that relationship into the present. And it sounds like that's exactly what your family has managed to do. And I'm really happy and heartened to hear that.
Thanks so much for that call. And Marissa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Marissa Renee Lee. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Coming up, we'll talk to a researcher who says that teaching empathetic listening in schools could solve a lot of the problems with our democracy today. Now to the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I'm Rob Ferret with Tom Lujak. Your support is a huge piece of the funding for Central Time and all the programs you count on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the biggest source of funding for WPR programs. It's a chance now to take action, make these conversations possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, a reminder for our listeners, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including one special member in Webster. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, we just had that great conversation with this author of the book Grief is Love, about dealing with grief, about, it's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all, here are the steps of grief, and then you're done. No, it's an ongoing thing, and I love so much that you were willing to share your stories with us. We have great conversations that can bring us inspiration, comfort, connection with other people in Wisconsin and around the world. These are the kind of conversations I love to count on here on Central Time.
So important for all of us to hear such valuable advice. You know, WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount. It's all up to you. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio is a great way to show your support. You choose a monthly amount that works for you. Then you set it up as an ongoing gift from your bank account or your credit card. Then that support goes right to work toward the programming you appreciate.
Your support will always be current. That means that month after month, you're making important programs available to everybody. So become a sustainer right now. It'll feel great. With a gift of $10 or $20 a month, just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That gift gets matched dollar for dollar. We hear great stories from WPR listeners every day. often about how Wisconsin Public Radio impacts their lives. The donor comments you hear during this member drive, they're great examples.
These stories remind us of how we're all connected to each other as a community. Because WPR programs engage you, inspire you, make you think, and make a contribution to support all of that right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make WPR experiences possible for both you and the entire community.
As the donor, you get to decide how much you want to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
You know, that might be what you spend every month on takeout or maybe entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is you decide what amount is right for you. Then make the gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Hey, we've made a great start toward our dollar-for-dollar match this hour. There's still room for you, though. Still more than $2,000 left to raise. That'll be matched dollar-for-dollar. Your gift goes twice as far when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make sure you ask for that thank you gift when you do give $10 or $20 a month. From apparel to drinkware, you'll show off your WPR pride wherever you go. So learn more about what's available when you give by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. What's a sustainer? Well, that's when you set up a ongoing monthly gift through your bank account or your credit card. You can set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you provide ongoing, reliable support for the programs you love.
Sandy in Madison says, I can turn on my local WPR station and always listen to something that's important, interesting, relevant, or just plain entertaining. I'm happy to contribute and keep it going for myself and everybody else who enjoys such quality radio programming.
Thanks so much for that, Sandy. I love that you're listening. I love that you gave. So many people count on Wisconsin Public Radio to keep you connected with Wisconsin and with the world. And I love that you show up when we need you at these member drives and all year long by becoming a sustainer. It's fantastic. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio what it is. We can't do it without you. Join the Central Time team right now when you give. That dollar for dollar match still in effect. Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. Central Time, I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up, we'll talk to a former social studies teacher, now a researcher, about why she thinks empathetic listening should be taught in schools as part of our civics education. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
You know, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes such a big, important difference. Just go to WPR.org or call us, 888-202-2552.
The clock is ticking on this big dollar-for-dollar match we have going on right now, up to $3,000. It's a great time to give because current members, including a member in Webster, are going to double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio, of challenging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When you listen to the Ideas Network, you make your community a better place because you are an engaged and informed citizen. When you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, well, you're doubling the good that you do.
It's because WPR is listener-funded. That means your financial support is what makes this incredible service available to you and the entire state. Do something awesome right now. Help make the Ideas Network possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. Well, that's the case with WPR. It's one place where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy a lot of stuff for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Today, donate any amount and you could win a $1,000 gift card to Wheel and Sprocket. Buy a new bike, add a trailer for your kids or cargo, or get your hands on some of the latest cycling gear. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all of the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift of any amount right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your gift. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujak. Your support during the spring member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose, it really is the right amount to give.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift, your matched gift right now, supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You get the idea. You fill in the blank about how you feel when you hear this show. Those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match still in effect, still over $2,000 of that challenge match left. Ooh, just 20 minutes. It could be a nail biter. We want to use all of that up. We want to make sure we get every bit of that. And we hope that our current listeners, this is how this works, they're saying, hey, we're going to challenge people to give. If they give, we'll match that up to $3,000. That doubles your gift. Just that simple. There's still room for you and your gift, but make it right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And get this, in addition to funding the programs, your donation enters you in a drawing for a Wheel and Sprocket gift card. It's a big one, too. Enjoy $1,000 to spend on bikes or cycling gear for your next outdoor adventure. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, don't worry, you're automatically entered.
A great time to make your gift, a dollar for dollar match. Get yourself entered into that drawing and, of course, support great public radio here in Wisconsin. Do it right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, you probably had some kind of civics education somewhere in your school career. You might have learned about the checks and the balances, elections, how a bill becomes a law. But how about listening? Our next guest says that teaching active, empathetic listening in civics classes could be a key to repairing our democracy, and she has some research to back it up. Hillary Conklin is professor of secondary social studies in the Department of Teacher Education at DePaul University. She got her PhD, by the way, at UW-Madison. Hillary, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, before you became a professor and a researcher, you were in there, a social studies teacher in middle school and high school. How does that experience in the classroom inform what you're trying to find out now?
Yeah, well, I think as I reflect back on my time in the classroom, a couple things stand out. So having been a classroom teacher and spending my days among over 100 adolescents in one day, I think first I have a deep appreciation for the incredible complexity of teaching and how challenging the work that teachers do is. And that complexity and those challenges have certainly only increased since I was in the classroom, and particularly in these last couple of years. But then I think something else that being a middle and high school social studies teacher helped me see was how incredibly thoughtful and insightful young people are if we take the time to really listen to them and give them opportunities to share their ideas about the world and their communities. So those are two big things that continue to shape the work that I do now as a researcher and also as somebody who prepares future social studies teachers.
Let's talk about this idea of empathetic listening. You're hoping this is part of our schools, a part of our civics instruction in particular. What is empathetic listening?
Yeah, so this is something my colleague Molly Andalina and I have been thinking about a lot. And the way we're defining it is that, in essence, it's listening to connect. So it's a form of listening that allows people to connect emotionally. It's a form of listening that humanizes other people. And it's also a form of listening that enables all of us to hear more people and more voices that have been historically pushed to the margins. And we're thinking about this in particular as a practice, as you've said, as a practice for civic life. And so we're interested in cultivating empathic listening as a civic skill. And I think it's an important distinction to make that this is not the kind of listening that you might do to maybe find a flaw in somebody else's argument or to prepare for what you want to say in response. So this is not listening for debate, but it's listening to really hear and feel someone else's experience.
Now, before we step into the classroom, let's talk about the need for us for this kind of thing. I guess it's an understatement to say we're not always in our American civic life, not always so good in listening that way. Fair to say?
That is very fair to say.
Now, Project Soapbox is your civics curriculum to go into the class and work in these things. Can you spell out for us, how does it work?
Sure. Yeah, so Project Soapbox is, it's actually a pretty brief curriculum. It usually takes about 1 to 2 weeks, and it's usually implemented in either social studies or sometimes even English language arts classes, typically middle or high school, though it's been implemented in elementary schools as well. And it was developed by an organization, Mikvah Challenge, which is based here in Chicago, and that's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. And essentially, the Project Soapbox curriculum asks students to select what they see as the most important issue that's facing their community, develop a speech about it, and then deliver that speech to their peers. And the curriculum is actually being used in places all over the country, including in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Milwaukee.
When you do this with students, what kind of results do you get? What comes out of this?
Yeah, well, so I referenced before my colleague, Molly Andalina. So she's a political scientist, and she and I have actually done two studies on Project Soapbox. And so the first one was in Chicago Public Schools, and we were looking at just a little over 200 students from 9 different high schools. And what we did was we talked with students, interviewed them, we observed their classrooms, we listened to a lot of their speeches. And in this first study, we were really just trying to understand what it was that students learned from taking part in the curriculum. And it's important to say that students often select speech topics that are really personally meaningful to them. And so there were topics ranging from mental health, immigration policy, to racism and gun violence. And something that the curriculum encourages students to do is provide all kinds of different evidence for their topics. And so many, among other kinds of evidence, a lot of the students share personal stories that illustrate the human impact of the issue. And so in this first round, this first study, we found that students developed all kinds of important public speaking skills, they gained confidence, and they also made a lot of gains in their expected political engagement. But what was really most interesting and surprising to us was that the greatest impact of this public speaking curriculum came from students actually listening to each other's speeches. And so that finding led us to a second study where we focused in on the listening piece. And so this time we were in a suburban school district with a much more socioeconomically and demographically diverse student population. So we had a lot more students who were speaking across lines of difference. And we found the same results as in the first study. So in both cases, when students listened to their classmates' speeches, they said, you know, I learned about all sorts of new perspectives that I hadn't heard before. I learned to really value those new perspectives. They said that they gained empathy for others' experiences. In some cases, they said they even changed their perspectives. And they also talked about deepening their sense of connection and trust with one another. And I think a final piece that's important that we found in our study that it helped us think about was that while when a classroom teacher decides to implement Project Soapbox, all students in the classroom end up participating in it and giving their speeches to one another. But part of what's significant about that is that it puts students who've been often historically marginalized in the position to share their perspectives, while those who have greater power in society are in the position to hear those perspectives. And giving that opportunity for all voices to be truly heard, as you may know, is not typically how things operate in our society. So that made it pretty important.
We're talking to Hillary Conklin from DePaul University about the value of empathetic listening in our civics education in our schools. We heard from Ted on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ted writes, a few years ago, my wife and I went to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield, Illinois. An audio exhibit on what people were saying about Lincoln, black people, and the Civil War brought me to tears, realizing we hadn't changed much in those 100 plus years. Ted goes on, if there's a way to awaken empathy in these future adults, I wholeheartedly applaud it. So on a practical level, Hillary, how do you train, say, a junior high or a high school student on empathetic listening, or I guess a grown-up for that matter? What kind of tips do you give them to listen in this way?
Yeah, well, I think it's a great question. And one thing I would suggest is that a curriculum like Project Soapbox really sets up the dynamic to enable this. And part of what we found in our research on Project Soapbox was that you definitely need to create the environment for this to happen. So a teacher needs to build trust, and so there needs to be all sorts of community building that happens in a classroom, and it needs to be a kind of community building where students get to share their values, they get to share what they care about with one another. And then there needs to be a setup in the classroom so that everyone has the opportunity to share their voices, which again is something that Project Soapbox sets up beautifully. Another element of it is people being willing to share these personal stories, which requires getting a little bit vulnerable at times. And that's a lot of what we saw in the Project Soapbox speeches, that students were sharing things that were really personal and important to them. But it's this combination of setting up that community, the community building, so that students feel that they can share those sorts of things with their classmates. And that then sets the stage for sort of building a greater trust in the classroom. So Project Soapbox is one form of fostering this empathic listening, but there are also there are story exchanges that there are other curricula that are implementing this kind of thing where students are in paired exercises and they share personal stories with one another. So there are a range of different ways that we might approach this in the classroom, but I think the key is building that trust in the community first so that students then feel like they're in a position where they want to share these important things with one another.
Hillary, if there's somebody listening right now, a teacher, a parent, a student, and they're thinking, yeah, I want this in our schools, how could they reach out and give Project Soapbox or something like it a try?
Well, Project Soapbox is available through the MCVA Challenge website. So if you go to the MCVA Challenge, it's MIKVA Challenge, and they have all sorts of tools to connect you to the curriculum. And they're really eager to have more folks do this work. So that's one important tool, I think, is just seeing what curricula are already out there. And Project Soapbox is one great example of it.
Hillary, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hillary Conklin is professor of secondary social studies in the Department of Teacher Education at DePaul University. She talked to us about teaching empathetic listening in schools as part of civics education. Hey, can we get that link to the Mikvah Challenge on the at WPR.org/Central Time? We'll get that up there. If you're interested in more information about Project Soapbox, go to WPR.org/Central Time and we'll get that up there for you. Now to the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us. That's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Rob, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Webster. That means your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, that was a great conversation. Close to my heart, of course, because it's about listening, speaking, hearing people, a big part of what we do on the show, of course. We encounter people with different points of views. We hear experiences that people have that might be buried behind headlines you see all the time. That conversation about cultivating that sort of empathy, that sort of listening skill in our schools, a great example of the kinds of conversations you can count on here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Here's something to put in your dresser. Ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt. The navy shirt features a WPR logo on the front, a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt right now. Give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
You can do that online at WPR.org or call up 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujak. Your support right now of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match still going on right now. Just got an update. We have about $1,000 to have that gift matched. That means there's still time for you, still room for you to give and get that dollar-for-dollar match. When you give right now online at WPR.org, your money goes twice as far, or call 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that member drives are an important time to hear from you. If you haven't already donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
Any amount you give makes a big difference. Giving takes just a few minutes of your time. It gets matched dollar for dollar right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your contribution of $10 a month or $120 all in one sum. When you do it, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
And as Rob mentioned, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
We got a variety of gear available, long-sleeve shirts, socks, all points in between. Check out what's available. Get some WPR stuff you can wear. Show off your Wisconsin Public Radio pride when you give at WPR.org. You can see what's there. Ask about it at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Clock is ticking on that dollar-for-dollar match. You can get in there if you get online or call right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get your dollar-for-dollar match. Get your gift doubled. Thank you so much for your support.